Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. I'm Luke Caverly. My co-host, Elizabeth Cubitt Caverly, and I are coming to you on August 19th, 2021. If you missed last week's extreme emergency alert, it's vital that you visit our listening archives and check out that August 12th program on Governor Bill Lee's Executive Order No. 83 in Tennessee and the CDC's plan for green camps. Just go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com. Once again, the seriousness of events causes us to delete program sites and times. But you can find those at our website, again, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Our two themes tonight merge into a cause and effect. The war on the world's men, women, and children is caused by the evil emanating from our other topic, America worships Satan. First, we start with the breaking news headlines. From the Gateway Pundit, and I should say the two sections overlap a lot.
Yes, they do. And we, you and I were talking that it isn't just America worships Satan. The world worships Satan in many areas, in many ways, too. But America is the big technology giant. America is going to pay much more because things are really being instituted here.
Yes, that's exactly right, Elizabeth. Well, as I started to say, the two sections overlap a lot. Cause, satanic allegiance. Result, horror and death by the crazy reprobate mind. We begin with an article in the Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoft, published August 17th, 2021. A president who was illegitimately elected has brought great shame to our country. Those are the words of President Trump as he issued a statement on the Afghanistan horror. The weekend collapse of Afghanistan to the Taliban barbarians was a huge shock to the Western world and globalist elites on Monday. Images of horror as Afghans stormed the airport, fell from planes, and flocked on the runway to flee the Islamist horde at the gates. On Tuesday morning, President Trump released a new statement on the Afghanistan debacle. He said, "What took place yesterday in Afghanistan made our withdrawal from Vietnam look like child's play. A president who has been illegitimately elected has brought great shame in many ways to our country," unquote. And also, Jim Hoft at the Gateway Pundit weighed in again on August 17th. Horrific images. Body of dead Afghan found in landing gear of USAS C-17 transport plane. Video shows Afghans sitting on the landing gear before takeoff, falling from the sky, stuck in the plane. The body of a dead Afghan was found stuck in the landing gear of the U.S. Air C-17 aircraft that transported Afghans under the Kabul International Airport on Sunday and Monday. Footage captured Afghans falling to their death after resting on the landing gear before takeoff. Business Insider reported, "The body of a dead Afghan citizen was found in the landing gear of a U.S. Air C-17 plane shortly after it took off from Kabul Airport, according to U.S. media reports. Three U.S. officials told the Washington Post that after leaving Kabul International Airport on Monday, the plane's landing gear would not go up. Upon investigation, U.S. personnel found the person's body in the plane's wheel well." Politico later confirmed the Post's report, citing two sources. There were scenes of chaos at Kabul's Hamid Karzai International Airport on Monday after the Taliban seized the Afghan capital and retook power in a lightning speed offensive. And this is Lou, these are my words now. 9/11 events gave George W. Bush the impetus to send troops to Afghanistan and later start the illegal war in Iraq. No yellow cake there, no weapons of mass destruction. But the Saudis got off free. Why was that? A three-letter word, O-I-L. Never mind that, as I reported in Elizabeth Cubitt Caverly's book, America Attacked, Patriots Warning 1, first, New York police and firemen heard explosions inside the towers. Two, Pieces of body parts and belongings of the Flight 93 passengers ended up 6 miles from the so-called crash site, blasted all the way to Indian Lake. No, perhaps the real reason for justifying America's entry into Afghanistan was the ongoing drug trade, taking drugs into America's inner cities, destroying American lives. A very keen observer out in Radio Land wrote us, reiterating what Elizabeth and I have mentioned from the Bush years onward, commenting that Pat Tillman was no doubt killed by so-called friendly fire to prevent him from carrying out his intentions to expose the opium Afghan truth. Our keen observer writes this, I already knew about the poppy fields in Afghanistan when years ago I asked my nephew who served in the army over there. I asked him what he knew about this. To my surprise, he knew all about it. I'm sure you know how the army was guarding the poppy fields following orders from the New World Order crowd. The Taliban wants to destroy. Let me say that again. The Taliban wants to destroy the poppy fields. The globalists need these fields to continue bringing in heroin here and elsewhere. What's going on here? Maybe the globalists have made some kind of deal with the Taliban to keep up production to help destroy America.
Yes, Lou, to help destroy America. This is the word that we're getting in all kinds of ways. Perhaps the weather modification, the drought that will create the famine, the food famines, all kinds of things they have their fingers in. Yes, New World Order nation building is never as humanitarian as it pretends. The horrors to the Afghan people are reprehensible. Now we recall the so-called Obama era, and that was the time that the big wigs of the military and the political figures were gathered in the Situation Room because we had the photo op of the takedown of Osama bin Laden. And somewhat later, we had the sinister deaths of the Navy SEAL 6 team that supposedly downed bin Laden. But Lou Caverly and I reported years ago that there were CIA leaks that told us that bin Laden had met with a CIA section chief in Dubai, I think it was the year 2000, and that he in fact died of kidney failure in that same era. Now we have another Situation Room event, which makes us again ask the question, is it staged? WorldNet Daily, fake photo? Biden's Afghanistan image has something very wrong. This is by Bob Unroe, published August 16, 2021 at WorldNet Daily. Fake photo? Biden's Afghanistan image has something very wrong. We repeat that because we've got to break through the propaganda hold that the mainstream media has had on the American people. And I wonder this year up there at the Flight 93 so-called crash memorial site, I guess they'll have to get a replacement for Mike Pence. Now, won't they? We'll have to have a very patriotic American go up there to help bamboozle those good Western Pennsylvania folks into keeping on with keeping on believing the lie. No, a very close person to my family worked in a store, and a man came in and told her right to her face he saw the extra plane. No, there was a shoot down. We know that's true. The common people will not be fooled forever. So here is the article by Bob Unruh. An online posting that looks closely at a recent image released by the White House of Joe Biden in a Situation Room, sitting alone at a large table with a series of screen images on the monitor on the wall, is raising questions about photoshopping. You know, that computer trick where you can insert the image of a person in a room where he actually isn't. Or you could remove someone from a picture of an event where he actually was, and other assorted tricks. It is Citizen Free Press that has posted several images and pointed out that there is a problem. under the headline, "Did the White House Use Photoshop in Biden Image?" the commentary openly wonders how much about the image is accurate, because the image shows London time at 16:29 and Moscow time as 19:29. Of course, the two cities are not in the same time zone, nor are they 3 hours apart, the Citizen Free Press explained. Let's repeat that. What the difference was: London time, 16:29, Moscow time, 19:29. Moscow will not be 3 hours different than London until November 7th, 2021, the report explained. The original statement from the White House, dated Sunday, said, "This morning, the president and vice president met with their national security team and senior officials to hear updates on the drawdown of our civilian personnel in Afghanistan, evacuation of applicants and other Afghan allies, and the ongoing security situation in Kabul." But the attached image showed only Biden. A commenter also pointed out that the screens that illuminate when the president's microphone is on were unlit, meaning if Biden was interacting with others electronically, he wasn't being allowed to speak to them. Commentator Jack Posobiec wondered, "Guys, I'm starting to think the government has been lying to us this whole time." And so now we also have to bring things up to date that last time our emergency report on the Governor Bill Lee Executive Order number 83 in Tennessee for the camps and the CDC report that was coming out really a year later. The report was really from July 2020. We were much heartened because after we reported in the time era of about August 8th through 10th, suddenly, in our own local paper here in Maryland, August 13th, it was there. And interestingly, it wasn't given credit to the, to the AP. We don't know how our paper got it. It just said pandemic and then Washington. And the headline was, "Report eyed putting high-risk COVID individuals into camps, green zones." And, of course, all the things we brought out to you were pretty much in this article. I'll just go through it with a few flashpoints there. The federal report, and that is the CDC report, focused on using a shielding approach to deal with curtailing the spread of the pandemic. The shielding approach aims to reduce the number of severe COVID-19 cases by limiting contact between individuals at higher risk of developing severe disease and the general population, the low risk. And they went on to talk about these green zones being, quote, established at the household, neighborhood, camp sector, or community level, depending on the context and setting. And they went on to talk about this shielding approach that would be a real containment facility because they're talking about, quote, a group of shelters such as schools, community buildings within a camp sector, maximum 50 high-risk individuals per single green zone, where high-risk individuals are physically isolated together. One entry point is used for exchange of food supplies. A meeting area is used for residents and visitors to interact while practicing physical distancing. No movement into or outside the green zone. So you see, some of the truth was really coming out. This kind of a scary Nazi-like thing that could morph into a death camp. And at the same time, then this kind of a sinister background there for what could happen to the unvaccinated if they are put in this camp. You know, Mike Adams had a really far-out theory, and that was on Wednesday, August the 18th. He quoted someone else's theory that possibly these people who are unvaccinated, if this were to ever materialize here in the United States, the CDC camp, they could be put in there because their organs are in better shape just like the Chinese who like to take the Falun Gong religious sect members' organs because they live better than the other Chinese. They eat healthy food that's part of their religion. So these unvaccinated people would be targeted for their organs, for this mammoth medical, pharma, industrial complex, whatever it is, all these billions of dollars all of these vaccine companies and others are making. So we have to watch for these sinister plans. And now here's another one that came out on Sunday, August the 15th. Here was the headline, Homeland Security, U.S. warns of heightened terrorism threats from domestic extremists. The Biden-Harris bulletin also warns of anti-government COVID sentiments turning into domestic terrorism. Okay, they've been trying to do this ever since Trump was ousted illegally. They've been trying to do this. They want to drum up a lot of cases that that will show that right-wingers are going to be these domestic threats so that they probably come after the guns. And then there was another one, I think, there was another one that I thought was really peculiar. This headline, again, was on that same Sunday, August 15th, FEMA paid $1 billion to help cover virus funerals. Matthew Redding, FEMA's Deputy Director of Individual Assistance, says the agency has paid more than $1 billion to 150,000 people who have applied for help covering coronavirus funeral expenses. Oh, Lou, doesn't that just gladden your humanitarian heart?
Yes, it does.
The humanitarian, that word, remember, that was what the CDC said these camps were going to be. That was going to be it. And, of course, we have learned something that the founder of the CDC went to Marquette University. And that's kind of a research university for the Jesuits. And the fact that he went to that university, and I think he got his degree in 1914, and then an advanced degree in 1916, that's just an interesting slant on the Jesuitic part of the New World Order. Is the CDC being Jesuit-controlled, just like Anthony Fauci, their kingpin? In all of this, he had a Jesuit education. Well, we don't know, but we're just asking that. Now I think we move on, and this is very important news. The military, many of whom Alex Jones woke up years ago to the New World Order threats to America, is really under siege. But one brave career naval officer is taking a stand against the genocidal COVID clot shots. This is no stage situation room propaganda. This is real. And we applaud Commander J.H. Furman. World Net Daily. Navy Commander, mandatory military vaccination is a, quote, national security threat. This is by Art Moore, published August 16th. The Pentagon's decision to require all personnel to be vaccinated compromises national security, contends a career Navy officer. Revolver News reported Commander J.H. Furman wrote in a memo that the, quote, forced vaccination of all military personnel with the present COVID-19 vaccines may compromise U.S. national security due to the unknown extent of serious vaccine complications, end of quote. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin announced Monday the Pentagon will require a COVID-19 vaccination for all service members by mid-September or before then if the FDA grants approval for the experimental vaccines, which are now administered under emergency use authorization. Court-martials, prison time, and less than honorable discharge are possible consequences for those who do not comply. But Furman contends that further study is needed, quote, before committing the total force to one irreversible experimental group. Initial reports leave more concern for the COVID-19 vaccinations than the virus itself for the, at present, exceptionally healthy military population, he wrote. Furman, Revolver News reported, is a career United States Naval officer, naval aviator, and foreign area officer with extensive experience advising senior military, diplomatic, and international organization leadership. He has served throughout Africa, Asia, Europe, and the Middle East. He holds a Master of Arts in Security Studies from the Naval Postgraduate School. Furman has four main points. First, the average member of the U.S. military is young and in excellent physical fitness, two categories that are nearly immune to the dangers of COVID. So far, only 24 people out of 2.2 million military personnel have died of COVID-19, a rate of less than 1 per 91,000. Two, there is reason to believe severe or even fatal side effects from existing COVID-19 vaccines are more common than reported, and could even prove deadlier to otherwise healthy servicemen than COVID-19. Three, there is also the outlier possibility that mRNA vaccines, the kind used by the Moderna and Pfizer shots, may have unanticipated negative effects on the immune systems of recipients. Four, currently, the U.S. military has proved completely capable of weathering COVID-19 without any loss of effectiveness, so forcibly making the entire service a test case for a novel type of vaccine is a pointless risk.
We present Commander Furman's outstanding essay as published by Revolver. First, SARS-CoV-2 is unlike any other virus. We have yet to completely understand the virology, and it is rapidly mutating. Second, the COVID-19 vaccines are all experimental. The world is simultaneously learning about this new technology amongst the largest vaccine rollout in human history. The data on both the virus and vaccines are new and not yet scientifically reliable. Basic assumptions are changing with unprecedented levels of breakthrough cases in the vaccinated population. The U.S. military service member is extremely healthy compared to the general population, and is not succumbing to the virus at any significant level, even without the vaccination. According to the CDC, quote, COVID overall has a 99.74% survival rate. Among young people, that number is even higher. For people ages 18 to 29, the survival rate is 99.97%, unquote. As of August 12, 2021, only 29.001% of the 2.2 million military population had expired from COVID-19. To date, the vaccine is more seriously injuring this unique population than the virus itself. A Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, study finds 23 U.S. service members experienced post-vaccination moderate to severe myocarditis, who are otherwise healthy and non-symptomatic. There have been many other COVID-19 vaccine harm or death outcomes documented in the U.S. government's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS. In fact, COVID-19 vaccine adverse events comprise a full one-third, over 500,000, of the three-decade total for all VAERS reports. Plus, the VAERS system is underreporting COVID-19 vaccine deaths by a factor of five, according to a whistleblower who was described in that court filing as a, quote, subject matter expertise in the healthcare data analytics field and has access to Medicare and Medicaid data maintained by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, unquote. They attested that the 9,048 reported COVID-19 vaccine-related deaths in VAERS is more like 45,000. After reconciling the various databases. The UK government agency, Public Health England, recently published a report showing that, quote, people who receive the COVID-19 shot are more than three times as likely to die than those who have not received the vaccine, unquote. Early signs in Israel indicate the same. Officials there recently reported that at least 85% of all severe and new COVID-19 hospitalizations are prior vaccinated individuals. The inventor of the mRNA technology, Dr. Robert Malone, recently disclosed that, quote, New data indicates that people who have taken the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are at greater risk of getting COVID than someone who is not vaccinated, unquote. The Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca vaccines also demonstrate significant problems as compared to the negligible military COVID-19 mortality rates. In the European Union, more than 22,000 vaccine-associated deaths are now documented in the EU Drug Adverse Events Database, which caused Doctors for COVID Ethics, an international doctor group from over 30 countries, to conclude on July 9, 2021, quote, "The benefits of vaccination are highly doubtful. In contrast, the harm the vaccines do is very well substantiated," unquote. Vaccine-enhanced herd immunity is in question. On August 3rd, Iceland's chief epidemiologist announced that their 95% nationwide full vaccination rate, quote, "has not led to the herd immunity that experts hope for." In the past 2 to 3 weeks, the Delta variant has outstripped all others in Iceland, and it has become clear that vaccinated people can easily contract it as well as spread it to others, unquote. There is precedence for vaccine failure in respiratory viruses, as noted in the journal Nature Microbiology last September. Quote, "Data from the study of SARS-CoV and other respiratory viruses suggested anti-SARS-CoV-2 antibodies could exacerbate COVID-19 through antibody-dependent enhancement, ADE, resulting in failed vaccine trials," unquote. Evidence suggests ADE could cause viral interference and, along with other influenza vaccines, alter our immune systems, nonspecifically to increase susceptibility to other infections. The mRNA vaccines may redirect our cells away from suppressing latent immunity issues from previous infections, for example, chickenpox. Consider, along with what Dr. Malone describes as an entire population, and this is in quotes, "an entire population that has been trained via a universal vaccination strategy to have the same basic immune response. Then, once a viral escape mutant is selected, it will spread rapidly throughout the entire population, whether vaccinated or not," unquote. It could mean massive problems ahead for the global COVID-19 vaccinated as they encounter variations and even simple viruses like the flu in combination. Natural immunity already possessed by the military population recovered from COVID-19 is effective against all known variants and also likely durable over time, according to Dr. Peter A. McCullough, who is regarded as one of the most credentialed experts in COVID-19 in the U.S. This past January, the journal Nature published that greater than 95% of COVID-19 recovered people have, quote, "durable memories of the virus," unquote. There is precedence here as well, with SARS-CoV-1 demonstrating 17 years of natural immunity. A Cleveland Clinic study concluded, quote, "individuals who have had SARS-CoV-2 infection are unlikely to benefit from COVID-19 vaccination," unquote. Another recent Israeli study questions, quote, "the need to vaccinate previously infected individuals," unquote. After comparing reinfection rates for the vaccinated and recovered segments of the country's National Health Database, Dr. McCullough strongly asserts that the current vaccination programs have become dangerous and should be shut down immediately, that mass vaccination programs in the middle of a pandemic actually causes the variations, making the entire vaccinated population vulnerable to those same variants.
And Commander Furman continues, "Currently, about 50% of all active and reserve service members have yet to receive a COVID-19 shot of any type. Based on recent reporting data supported by published research findings, this paper argues that instead of lumping two very large unknowns, COVID-19 virology and vaccine efficacy, into one experimental group possibly threatening U.S. military personnel combat readiness, the DOD should maintain the, quote, unvaccinated half as a force protection control group, thus guaranteeing a viable fighting force. Similar safeguards should also be considered for the civilian DOD population to support the warfighter. regardless of the long-term vaccine verdict. Given the COVID-19 mortality in the military, the U.S. can presently maintain the nation's defensive manning levels in all critical fields, pressing forward against these extremely large unknowns by mandating COVID-19 vaccines could potentially threaten basic military deployment assumptions, to say nothing of the long-term destruction to morale and recruiting. If it is true that the military is, in fact, essential to national survival, thereby justifying massive budgets and sweeping measures to protect the force, then deciding to gamble the entirety of those vital forces on what little is certain is reckless at best. To do so, given such low demonstrated serious outcomes in the unvaccinated force, could prove fratricidal. With a better than 99.74% COVID-19 recovery rate in the military population, the singular act of stopping the present vaccination drive, thus preserving a force protection control group, could prove existentially critical to the country. Immediately cease and desist all coerced COVID-19 vaccination initiatives for service members and civilians, except for any remaining comorbidity groups. Moreover, the Force Protection Control Group should commence harmless alternative and preventative protocols like mask, plus currently used in nations around the world with great efficacy. I think that had a certain name there, eye mask. According to the American Journal of Therapeutics in their May-June 2021 issue, quote, multiple large natural experiments occurred in regions that initiated ivermectin distribution campaigns, followed by tight, reproducible, temporally associated decreases in case counts and case fatality rates compared with nearby regions without such campaigns. Bottom line, the known science does not justify committing the entire U.S. troop strength to one singular experimental group. Given the many unknowns and what we have come to learn most recently, mandatory COVID-19 vaccination may not only be rash, but perhaps become life-threatening to the nation vis-a-vis those dedicated to her defense against very well-known strategic competitors. Simply, COVID-19 forced inoculation could prove to be a grave national security threat at a time when the nation can least afford it. We must immediately pause and reevaluate the U.S. defensive strategic assessment of COVID-19 vaccinations for the entire department. There is absolutely no imperative of benefits outweighing the risks to continue with mandating the COVID-19 vaccines to the military population who do not self-elect. Doing so could potentially trigger manning shortfalls brought on by resignations and lost enlistments from this all-volunteer armed force. At this time, there is more than enough justification for a COVID-19 vaccination safety stand-down to reconsider how the decision to mass vaccinate will critically impact overall mission effectiveness. So it's just so important, and what a wise commander we have there. And now we think again about part of our program title, America Worships Satan. America Worships Satan in many different ways. And our last program explored satanic shoes and presidents' daughters who wish a happy new year to the Church of Satan. The darkest, most horrific part of this satanic worship involves death and murder. And it seems as if America sometimes cares more about their pets, their animal pets, than the 60-plus million aborted babies. But even so, helpless, trusting animals do not need this culture of death either. And this, again, is the Gateway Pundit. Tucker Carlson hosts ghoulish animal-killing PETA to discuss Fauci animal tests instead of organization org, that is, who actually exposed it, by Cassandra Fairbanks, August 13, 2021. Tucker Carlson hosted the vice president of the deceptively named People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and that's PETA, on Friday evening's episode. PETA's senior vice president, Kathy Guillermo, was on criticizing Dr. Anthony Fauci's research on beagles, even though her organization had nothing to do with his disgusting work being exposed. The real organization behind the shocking revelations was White Coat Waste Project, a right-leaning animal welfare group that actually gets results and doesn't kill any animals while doing so, unlike PETA. And this is Elizabeth again speaking. I remember more than a decade ago, Alex Jones exposed a lot through a very close family member, he said, who had once belonged to PETA, till she discovered that they had a hidden kind of ritual sacrifice in which they actually met to kill animals. Really like a creepy echo, you see, of the New World Order child sacrifice and the grabbing of children all over America, the Franklin cover-up. It never really ended. So now back to this article about the animals. The documents obtained by White Coat Waste Project using the Freedom of Information Act show that Dr. Fauci spent $424,000 to commission a study in which healthy beagles were given an experimental drug and intentionally infested with flies that carry a disease-causing parasite that affects humans. In 2016, WCW, and that's White Coat Waste Project, also exposed how the NIH division was using tax dollars to buy beagle puppies and strapping capsules full of infected flies to their bare skin. Disgustingly, Guillermo is in no position to criticize anyone, as her organization has killed over 40,000 dogs and cats, got three chimps killed in 2020, and two macaque monkeys killed in 2019. And those are just the animals that Gateway Pundit knows of. Michael Robeson, who runs a small primate rescue in Tennessee, recently spoke to the Gateway Pundit about PETA's animal grabs, where they claim to be, quote, rescuing animals from smaller sanctuaries and privately owned zoos. Quote, they'll take these chimps that have been bonded, like our chimps that have been together for at least 25 years, and they'll break them up and try to introduce them to a new troop somewhere, Robeson explained. Project Chimp took three of ours last year, and all three got killed. They're claiming that they're doing all this because of the welfare of these chimps, but in the end, it's all for grant money, he said. It's all monetization. The state of Virginia also killed two macaque monkeys that were seized from Wilson's Wild Animal Park in Winchester, following a years-long campaign of harassment from the animal rights organization. Bizarrely, PETA representatives accompanied law enforcement during the raid of the privately owned zoo. Now, I have to interject, we don't think that's so weird. We now have a hybridization. We're not only going after some of these animal sanctuary people, we're going to get the whole apparatus going after the domestic terrorists who don't want to get the vaccines and who think Trump maybe should come back into office. But back to the article, the two primates, and that is, remember, these two macaque monkeys were seized out of Wilson's Wild Animal Park in Winchester, Virginia. The two primates were immediately euthanized after being seized from the park, because very rarely primates can carry herpes B. The corpses later tested negative for the virus. The kills were conducted without quarantining and testing the primates, and before the owner even had an initial hearing. Now, Lou, we can see the bloodlust is just seeping out of all the pores of all these New World Order Luciferians. Do you not think?
Oh, yes, yes. They love murder. They love killing. It's just appalling.
It is appalling. So it says here, documents uncovered by PETAKillsAnimals.com. That's an interesting title for a website, PETAKillsAnimals.com. You know, when we're subjected to those long, weeping commercials, usually during the holidays, of all the animals being killed and harmed, you know, we have to remember, sentimental tears are a big money getter. But here we have that other website, PETAKillsAnimals.com. That doesn't go along with what we see in TV. It had indicated that following an inspection of the PETA facilities, the Commonwealth of Virginia was so shocked by the number of animals that they kill each year that the state inspector attempted to revoke their license to operate a shelter. Dr. Daniel Kovich, the investigator with the VDACS that conducted the inspection of PETA's animal shelter in July 2010, determined the facility does not contain sufficient animal enclosures to routinely house the number of animals annually reported as taken into custody. And Kovich found that 245 of the 290 animals, 84%, that PETA took into custody were killed within 24 hours. Only 17 were reported as adopted or in foster homes. In 2019, PETA killed 1,500 cats and dogs. The following year, PETA's so-called shelter took in 2,650 animals and euthanized 67% of them, 1,763 animals. And, of course, Gateway Pundit revealed that PETA received $2.6 million from the taxpayer-funded COVID Paycheck Protection Program, and nearly $2 million of that loan was forgiven in June. If it's bad with the animals, the horrific part of Satan's sacrifice is coming next. And I believe I have the first part of that, or do you, Lou?
I believe you do.
Yes, and I might have to shorten this down a little bit because we've got to get to your part. Under evil Biden regime, the NIH Abandons Ethics Board resumes trafficking of aborted baby body parts using taxpayers' money. And actually, this article was out as early as Monday, April 26th, at Natural News. On Friday, April 16th, the National Institutes of Health, NIH, announced the disbanding of the Independent Ethics Board that reviews applications for federal funding for projects that use fetal tissue. And now that is really eye-opening when we think about what's going on right now, all the exposure that's coming to NIH and Fauci. The article continues, under the Trump administration, the NIH offered grants to organizations that found alternatives to fetal tissue research. Quote, this reflects a turn to poor ethics as well as poor science, said David Prentice, vice president and research director of the anti-abortion Charlotte Lozier Institute, who served on the now disbanded Ethics Review Board. But not all members of the Ethics Board are against its disbandment. It was a farce, said Lawrence Goldstein, a neuroscientist at the University of California, San Diego, and the only member of the advisory board who's an outspoken advocate of fetal tissue research. Highly valuable projects that had been through multiple levels of review already went to the board to die. Democrat lawmakers were also the first to laud the move by the HHS. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins had some strong words for Becerra and the Biden administration. Quote, as expected, HHS Secretary Xavier Becerra, a fanatical advocate for abortion, announced the Biden administration will now force American taxpayers to pay for barbaric experiments using the body parts of aborted babies. Instead of using ethical and effective alternatives, Biden is choosing to reinstate a policy that traffics in the grisly remains of what would have been our next generation, Perkins said. Connor Semmelsberger, director of Federal Affairs for Life and Human Dignity at Family Research Council, said that using body parts from aborted babies to conduct research is a, quote, barbaric practice that should be unthinkable. Sadly, President Biden is instead promoting it. And now we come to the heart of the abomination to God, so horrific that I ask Lou to take this when I can't bear to bring it.
Yes, and now we have proof. Not only does America worship Satan, but if America were at all a Christian nation, tens of thousands of true hired church pastors would have stopped this horror from the very pit of hell. But their years of cowardly silence are all there is. One man has stood in the gap, David Leiden. We have this essay by Bob Armour, WorldNet Daily, entitled Baby Body Parts Investigator Takes Aim at the University of Pittsburgh. The Leiden accuses the school of barbaric experiments on aborted babies. This was published June 4th, 2021. The man whose undercover videos from 2015 revealed the American abortion industry's baby body parts for sale schemes now has turned his focus on the University of Pittsburgh. David Leiden, chief of the American Center for Medical Progress, still is fighting over the videos that documented American abortion industry leaders talking about how much pay they wanted for the pieces of aborted babies. One said she wanted more money so she could buy a Lamborghini. Multiple lawsuits have resulted, including a judgment against him and his organization that he still is fighting. That came in the courtroom of a federal judge who reportedly helped fund a Planned Parenthood business at a quote-unquote resource center where he was on the board. But he still refused to remove himself from the abortion case. Now Leiden has written a commentary in Newsweek about the University of Pittsburgh, which he said hosts, quote, disturbing and barbaric government-sponsored experiments on aborted babies, infant scalping, exporting fetal kidneys, and killing live aborted infants by organ harvesting. Mounting evidence connects Planned Parenthood to it all, unquote. He explained he testified on the topic before the state legislature. He pointed out that the school stonewalled lawmakers' questions. In one study published last year, Pitt scientists described scalping five-month-old aborted babies to stitch onto the backs of lab rats. And this is a quote from Mr. Leiden. They wrote about how they cut the scalps from the heads and backs of the babies, scraping off the excess fat under the baby's skin before stitching it onto the rats. They even included photos of the baby's hair growing out of the scalps. Each scalp belonged to a little Pennsylvania baby whose head would grow those same hairs if he or she were not aborted for experiments with lab rats, he bluntly explained. Mr. Leiden also wrote, the published study used both rats and mice to grow the baby's scalps. How was this paid for? With a $430,000 grant from Dr. Anthony Fauci's NIAID office at the NIH. His criticisms on the school continue. Quote, previously, I wrote about another Pitt scientist who developed a nightmarish protocol for harvesting the freshest, most pristine livers from five-month-old aborted babies in order to isolate massive numbers of stem cells for experimental transplants. This technique calls for aborting late-term fetuses alive via labor induction, rushing them to a sterile laboratory, washing them, and then cutting them open to harvest the liver. This Pitt scientist received $3 million from the National Institutes of Health, unquote. Leiden pointed out that beginning in 2016, Pitt got $1.4 million from the NIH in grants to run a distribution hub for aborted fetal kidneys and other organs. Mr. Leiden said, quote, Pennsylvania law makes experimentation on a living fetus or failure to provide immediate medical care to a born alive infant a third-degree felony. Sadly, fetal experimentation, including on babies delivered alive in late-term abortions, has been documented at Pitt for decades. And this is literally interjecting that those sleeping pastors, the dumb dogs documented in the Bible, lying down in money and comfort, live in Pennsylvania. Why did they not insist on implementing Pennsylvania law? And Mr. getting back to the article, Mr. Leiden said the links to Planned Parenthood's abortion businesses are there too. Quote, Pitt's fetal research projects generally obtain fetal tissue through the university's tissue bank from local abortion providers. 2 years ago, sources told me Pittsburgh was one of the major hubs of the FBI's investigation into Planned Parenthood's human trafficking of aborted fetuses. Planned Parenthood Western Pennsylvania abortion providers who were on staff at Pitt confirmed this information. When I went undercover, they told me they supply the university's tissue bank. And this is again Lou speaking out. Great Game India also reports that Dr. Beatrice Chen serves as both the medical director for Planned Parenthood of Western Pennsylvania and the Director of Family Planning at the University of Pittsburgh. And going on with a quote from David DeLeiden, we know this much just from public sources. First, Planned Parenthood abortionists supply fetuses to Pitt. Second, Pitt uses its access to fetal tissue and organs to get major NIH grant money. Third, Planned Parenthood enjoys access to people and resources at Pitt. Unquote. The Federalist reported earlier that the judge in DeLeiden's case, William Orrick, had been nominated to the post after serving as a major donor to and bundler for Barack Obama. The Federalist reported, quote, both Orrick and his wife are longtime donors to San Francisco's Good Samaritan Family Resource Center, where Orrick was a board member and helped fund and open a Planned Parenthood clinic on its site. That clinic sold fetal tissue to Stem Express, a for-profit wholesaler exposed by CMP's videos and reporting, the Federalist reported.
And Lou, we have a little update Friday, August 6th at LifeSite News by Jonathan Van Maren. Here's the headline. University of Pittsburgh's organ harvesting practices include racial quotas for minority babies. This week, new details are emerging. Even Donald Trump Jr. tweeted a stunned reaction. This is sick, twisted, and evil. I don't care if you're pro-choice or pro-life. If you're okay with torturing an unborn baby like this, then you need to seek help immediately. Everyone involved should be behind bars. This is sick, twisted, and evil. And those words are echoing Donald Trump Jr. by Jonathan Van Maren, the writer. And so this article gets into more about the horrible idea that is true, that these babies have to be alive while all this suffering is going on. According to the Center for Medical Progress, ischemia starts when the organ, the kidneys primarily in Pitt's GoodMap project, is cut off from blood circulation. The NIH defines ischemia as a lack of blood supply to a part of the body. The university states the fetal organs do not undergo ischemia, lose their blood supply, until after the tissue collection procedure. This means the organs are still receiving blood supply from the fetal heartbeat during the tissue collection. David DeLeiden responded to the news by releasing a statement. Pitt is now admitting to news media that the aborted babies are still alive at the time their kidneys are cut out for NIH grant money. Isn't this horrible? You know, there's more to this article, wondering about people like Barr, the former attorney general. Did he know and do nothing? Merrick Garland even promised the Senate Judiciary Committee he would make decisions about fetal trafficking prosecutions. See, nothing really happened, but now you're learning about it, and you can take this to our Lord in prayer. Now, according to Live Action, the NIH grants included racial quotas for baby body parts. In the application to NIH, the University of Pittsburgh said it intended to use inclusion or exclusion of individuals on the basis of sex/gender, race, and ethnicity when procuring aborted baby parts. Or, excuse me, they say body parts there. The university stated that it would harvest 50% of aborted babies from white mothers and 50% from minority patients and their children, with 25% of those harvested babies coming from black women. Allegheny County, the major metropolitan area from which Pitt-based abortion practices draw patients, is 80% white and only 13% black. So there we can see the Margaret Sanger idea of getting rid of the Negroes. They were just weeds. So we can see the hidden agenda. This is where a culture that permits abortion inevitably ends up. And these are the words from LifeSite News. Pillaging the corpses of babies who are not considered human enough for human rights, but are considered human enough to be butchered for research. These experiments must be exposed and they must be ended. These children deserve justice and their blood cries out. Lou and I had intended to move on telling you a lot more about the world events with this war on men, women, and children. But we are not going to be able to do that till next week, and there's plenty going on. But it was so important that we focus on probably the key abomination to God Almighty, the war on his little ones and the little unborn ones, the hideous kind of institutionalized evil that is now being chipped away at by brave newscasters, by people even like Mike Adams at Natural News, the health ranger. On August the 9th, I thought he gave one of the most significant situation updates he ever gave. We don't always care for everything he does, some of his zany remarks, some other things, but his heart is really there in love of humanity. We know that's true. So he was talking about the reap what you sow aspects of this America that now worships Satan. And he said that we must realize, point number one, that when the organ harvesting instructions say keep the blood circulating, it means they are using a fetus that has actually been alive. It has been born alive, and it is alive. And they will take it from the mother to a place where eventually, without anesthesia, they will tear the little being apart to harvest the organs. Point number two, what the U.S. did to the hapless, innocent civilian citizens of Hiroshima, and that was radiating and harming, I think actually maybe killing over 130,000, but it was nuking that many, and we don't know how many died, but it's coming home now to us. Mike might call it karma. We Bible students would call it reaping what you sow. With these thousands of COVID vaccine deaths, the late number of 12,200 deaths from VAERS is, in actuality, Mike says, about 500,000 or 480,000. And think of Hiroshima's atrocity about 80 years ago and how it's revisiting us here. And then the idea of the camps. Mike states that the philosophy of the military-industrial complex has always been mass murder and genocide. And he brought up the way our government rounded up the Japanese-American citizens. They were innocent people. They weren't spies or anything else, and they were put in the camps. And so Mike has actually said, if you're obedient to the COVID vaccine, you are obedient to Satan. Well, in the sense that the aborted fetal cell lines were used. If you know about it and you get the vaccine, absolutely, you are saluting Satan. If you don't know, then you deserve all of our prayers. All of us have family members and friends who took the shots. Will we see a huge Holocaust gradually? I look at the obituaries here in the local Maryland paper, and more, every day, there are 3 to 4 people, ages 50 to about 70, pass away at their home, pass away at their home, pass away at their home. Are these heart attacks? Is it really the COVID spike protein clot shot killing? Good night.